Good morning, brethren. Can I tell you right up front, I love you. Andrew and I both love you so very much. I tell you, it warms my heart, it thrills my soul, it refreshes me every time to see God being glorified in some place. Whether it be a small little Bible study in the corner of Asuncion or in our worship services there with the congregation of Asuncion right here in Palm Beach Lakes, no matter where it is, when the Lord is glorified, it thrills my soul. And God is indeed being glorified in Palm Beach Lakes. And we just love you so much and thank you so much for all your support and your love and your encouragement. It means so much to us. You mean so much to us. And we are happy to be home. I'm telling you, it is great to be back home after 15 months of being overseas, back in our home country, the place where we were born, where we have our roots, our families, our cultures, our customs. You know, technology is indeed making the world a smaller place, but brethren, we live in a big old world. How many of y'all have ever traveled outside the United States? A lot. Is it not difficult? It takes a considerable amount of effort to travel outside the United States, does it not? There's always that feeling of insecurity and you know real quickly that you are a foreigner in another country, that your rights and your customs and things like that just don't apply. And these things are amplified when you live overseas. I'll tell you, living over in Paraguay has made me appreciate being American so much more. You know, proud to be an American. We have pride in our country. What's that saying? Proud to be an American. We write songs about it. We have poems about it. We are a prideful people and we say it. Now, I know Christians are not supposed to be prideful, but are you indeed thankful? Are you happy to be an American? Would you stand up for your country? Would you fight for your country or serve it somehow, some way? I know that most of you would, and I know that a lot of you have. And that's a wonderful thing. We are Americans. That's what I want to stop and think about for just a moment. What we are, really. What are we? What makes us? Are we an American first, or are we a Christian first? What's more important, being American or being a Christian? You know, some people would say, I'm an American so I can be a Christian. And they might need to think about that. And that's what I want to think about this morning. In fact, you know, there were three young boys who decided that being a servant in the Lord's kingdom was more important than being the servant of a king. In fact, they even stood before the king and said, we're not going to serve you, O king. We're going to serve our Lord, God. He is able to deliver us. And even if he isn't able to deliver us, we're still going to serve him. You know that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they stood before King Nebuchadnezzar. I love saying that word in Spanish, Nabucodonosor. They stood before the king and told him that our loyalty is to God first. What courage that is. You know, I've often wondered, how did they know they were Jews? Could they tell by the way they dressed? Perhaps. Could they tell by the way they acted and conducted themselves? Most likely. What about you? Can people tell what nationality you are or where you belong by the way you dress or conduct yourself? You know, in Paraguay, nobody thinks I'm American. The first question out of their mouth is, are you German? And no. And then they think Andrea is Paraguayan until she opens her mouth. And then they think she's Brazilian. And so they don't know where we're from. And then they're surprised whenever we tell them that we are Americans. You know, can you tell where people are from just by looking at them? Sometimes. Let's play a little game and see if indeed we can tell. Where might this gentleman be from? Arabia? Middle East somewhere, perhaps? How about this young lady? Japan? Asia somewhere? Now, this fella has got to be from Canada. Why are you laughing? Can you tell where this gentleman's from? We immediately know Mexico just by the clothing and things. This one might be a little bit more difficult. Russia, Serbia, one of those areas. This may be a little bit more difficult. These are Peruvians. Now here's a bigger question. Out of all of these, which one of these is a Christian? Can you tell just by looking? Can you tell by their actions? Most likely. Brethren, everything that we're talking about this morning, so far, with these sort of things, has to do with citizenship. Have you ever thought much about citizenship and its importance? Have you ever really considered how important citizenship is in our life? Have you ever had to deal with citizenship issues? Let's take a look at that verse that Johnny read this morning and one other verse I'd like to look at. In Ephesians 2, verse 19. In Ephesians 2, 19, we see Paul writing to the church in Ephesus and says to them, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Now, if you will, flip over a few more pages to another letter that he wrote to the Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, he says the same type of language again when he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Some versions might say conversation, but that word that's there is citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when we think about these verses like this, I find these very intriguing. And we think about the importance of citizenship. One of the questions we might ask is, what is this citizenship in heaven? That will be our question this morning. There's a lot of talk right now in the press about citizenship. Maybe not exactly in those words, but when we talk about controlling our borders, when we talk about the problem of illegal aliens in this country or granting amnesty and things like that, we're talking about citizenship. And we might know a lot more about citizenship than we may realize. I hold right here in my hand my passport to the United States. This is my proof of citizenship, of being here in America. This is recognized in countries outside of America, and it allows me to get back in the country. Let me tell you, this passport right here has caused me a whole lot of grief. You see, this passport was stolen. Some of y'all know that story. When we first arrived in Paraguay and our car was broken into and they stole my backpack, they stole this passport. And all of a sudden, I'm in a foreign country some 4,500 miles from home illegally. And no way to get back home. So I had to enlist the help of the U.S. Embassy to get a new passport. And then I had to leave the country to go get the... That was weird. I had to leave the country to get a visa to get back in the country, which would help me get back into the United States. And in that moment, I realized just how important citizenship really is. And let me tell you, that is probably the worst feeling I've ever had in my life. It was terrible. In that moment, I learned how important citizenship was. And by the way, some blessed soul returned this passport to the American Embassy. They gave it back to me, so I have it as a little memento. Brethren, citizenship is very important in our lives. Just ask those who are trying to get their citizenship in this country, or those who would die just to get into this country or be a citizen in this country, if citizenship is not important. Citizenship is important. And when it comes to, we're talking about citizenship in heaven, we need to understand the importance of it above all things. Now, when Paul wrote these letters, he knew a great deal about citizenship. If you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 22, verses 25 through 28, we see a scene where Paul uses his citizenship to protect himself. You see, Paul had been seized in the temple just a couple of chapters before by the Jews, and the Romans came in and grabbed him and they threw him in prison. They didn't know what he'd do, so they thought they would punish him for some law that he had to have broke. And so they put him against the wall, and here we pick up the story in verse 25 of chapter 22. "And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, 'Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman? and uncondemned? Now, when the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do. I put in the word, that's not in there. Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. Then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, that is Paul, yes, I am. The commander answered, with a large sum of money, I obtained this citizenship. I can just hear Paul looking right at him and saying, but I was born a citizen. You see, Paul used his citizenship to protect himself. Paul knows a little bit about citizenship. In fact, when he wrote these verses that we're looking at in Ephesians and Philippians, this would have a special meaning to them. You see, those were Roman colonies. And they were metropolitan areas that people came from all over the world, from all over different countries. And this would have had a special ring in their ears to talk about citizenship. I can relate to that Roman centurion who said, with a large sum of money, see, Andrew and I have our Paraguayan cedulas. It's not citizenship. It's just a card that allows us to do more, have a few more privileges. But we paid a lot of money for it and spent a lot of time trying to get it. Citizenship is very important. So again, what is this citizenship in heaven that we're talking about? Well, according to the Bible and the verses around, let's go ahead and look at Philippians 3 around there. There are two types of citizenship. There is that citizenship of the world and citizenship of heaven. The citizen to be a part of the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. One or the other. And so when we look at these things, we see two types of citizenship. And the Bible gives us some very descriptive things to say about these two types of citizenship. For example, if you are of the world, the Bible says, according to Philippians 3:19, you are concerned about earthly things. That is, your life revolves around worldly desires. Your heart seeks the things, the pleasures, the honors, the riches of this present world. There might be an outward show of religion or even confession, but your heart seeks that which is earthly. The goals of this world are your goals. And those are how much money you have. What kind of pleasures are you concerned about? The amount of honor and power that you have. You live to satisfy your lust. You speak your own language. It's a language that focuses on self. About what you're going to do. How you've done it. What you have. What you won't have. And you worry about losing what you have. Your God is really your own belly. That is to say, your own appetite. You do things to satisfy the craving within you that really can never be filled. This is your life. You are a citizen of the world. Now, if you are a citizen of heaven, according to Colossians 3:2, then even though you live in this world, your heart, your mind, everything is always focused on those heavenly things. Around Jesus Christ and His life, you actually feel out of place here below. You grow and you move around in this world, you feel like that it just cannot satisfy you. Your heart seeks to be close to God. The purposes of God are your purposes. You speak your own language. A language that's a biblical, spiritual language that we find in the Bible. There's this constant desire to serve the Lord and a constant desire to be with your brethren where you share a love and a hope. Behind all your planning, all your working, all your building of your life, everything and every aspect of your life is concerned about how it complies to the will of God. Matthew 6:32, seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. That is what you're concerned about. And according to Philippians 3:20, you have this hope. That hope that there will be the return of Christ. You long for that day when you get to be with Him in the presence of our Savior, in the presence of God. So, using these two, which one describes you? Which one of these do you fit into? Which one of these are you a citizen? And our question changes from what is a citizenship of heaven to where is your citizenship? I know we've been talking about earthly citizenship before. And you can tell I've changed gears here. I'm no longer asking you if you're American or Paraguayan or German or Chinese or anything else. And this is also not an announcement of disloyalty to being a citizen, because we're still Americans. We're happy to be here, and we're still obligated to obey the laws and to pay our taxes. Paul is abundantly clear on this in all of his letters, especially in Romans when he talks about those things. However, Paul also, remember, wrote this from Rome in prison when he wrote it to the Ephesians and the Philippians. He knew a little bit about corrupt governments. I'm asking you because God wants to know, where does your citizenship lie? Where is your citizenship? In heaven or here on earth? Joshua made it very clear to his people, his nation, when he said, you can go serve those gods on the other side of the Jordan. Those are the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Perizzites, all of those different gods. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. He made it very clear. And that's the question we're asking. What is your citizenship? Let's take a closer look at that verse, Ephesians 2:19. Turn with me there to Ephesians 2:19 and let's take a look at that again. It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You know, this is actually a portrait that Paul is painting about citizenship, about a citizen. And it has three parts. That first part, easily divided into no longer strangers or foreigners. You know, there is a lot of comfort in that phrase. Remember I said that that would have a special meaning to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, that they were a Roman colony? Well, their lives would be comforted if they had Roman citizenship. I want you to think about that for a moment. If you don't have citizenship, you can't sign a contract. You can't open a bank account. You can't do all kinds of things. I know that feeling being a foreigner there in Paraguay. And so this citizenship is important. But yet, Paul is talking about a more important citizenship. And even in that moment when my passport was stolen, I still knew I was a citizen of heaven. I still knew I was a child of God. So God's in control no matter what happens. And what comfort there is in that statement. See, as a foreigner, you don't have any rights. I can't go to Paraguay. I can't vote for their president. I can't go to the courts and ask them to uphold my rights or anything else because I'm a foreigner. But this verse says we are no longer foreigners. We have been made fellow citizens. And what comfort there is to know that I'm not denied anything within the citizenship of heaven. Now, we know the definition of a foreigner. That's someone from outside of a country or outside of a different culture. Is it not indeed culture? A different culture? There's even different cultures within the same country. In fact, different cultures are how we identify people as being a foreigner. Those pictures we showed earlier, just by that culture, we can see culture plays a big role in our citizenship. For example, did you know that Paraguay has some very unique cultures? Their Indian background and the things that they have affect the way they view the world. For example, this picture on the bottom here is called the Pilgrimage of the Virgin Kaikupe. Kaikupe is a city, a town outside of Asunción, up on a big hill. And they have representative virgin in this glass case. And the Paraguayans will walk, depending on how much they want to sacrifice, they'll walk further up this hill to the church so that they'll have good luck in the coming year. A lot of Paraguayans come from all over the country to do that. Or that Guarani Indian background that they have affects the way they look at the world. For example, time does not have the same meaning in Paraguay as it does here in the United States. As well as family is more important. They're more concerned about family than they are about honor and power. So it affects their worldview. Let me tell you, living in Paraguay, Andrew and I do everything we can to try to learn the culture because you can very quickly offend somebody or do something wrong. And so we want to make sure we do things right. For example, a hug. They're not a very huggy people. Andrew and I miss that terribly, the hugs. Instead, they have what's called dos besos, two kisses on the cheek. But here's the thing. If you kiss somebody in a room, by the way, the men kiss the women kiss the women, but the men don't kiss the men down there. At least they draw the line somewhere. But the two kisses, you better kiss everybody in the room or somebody gets offended. Well, do you know it's the same way in the Lord's kingdom? There's also a culture in the Lord's kingdom that we learn that affects our worldview, the way we see things. For example, in Ephesians 4, 17 through 5, 2, we read that we need to be imitators of God. In Galatians 5, 22, we read about those fruits of the Spirit. Or in 2 Peter 1, we see those things that we add to our faith. All over the New Testament, we see these things that we are to learn to do so that we are in this culture of the Lord's kingdom, citizen of heaven. Heavenly citizenship affects the way we think and view the world around us. Second of all, it says that we've been made fellow citizens. That word fellow is a key right there, which means there are others, other companions, citizens that were there before us. And we've been made fellow citizens with them. Now you see what happened. It says with the saints. These saints, before God made this new nation, this new kingdom that we read about as being a peculiar people that Peter talks about, he had his own people. Those were the Israelites, a people set apart for him that we read about in Leviticus 20, verse 26. And we've been joined together with them so that now we have indeed true diversity. There is no longer Jew nor Greek, no longer slave or free, no longer male or female, because we've all been made one in Christ Jesus. What diversity we have right here in this congregation. What diversity you could see even in Paraguay. There's all kinds of languages and different nationalities, but we're all one in Christ Jesus, in this kingdom of heaven, to be citizens. And so it indeed has a certain impact on us. True diversity. But it also means that we have benefits to enjoy. You know, being a citizen of the United States, we have things like freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, fair trial system, many different things. Well, it's the same way in the kingdom of heaven. We have certain benefits that we enjoy. And one of the greatest benefits is knowing that there is a future glory that awaits us. And final part of this verse, it's also the final part of the portrait that Paul paints, is that of being part of the household of God. That word household simply implies family. We've been made a part of God's family. God as the Father, Jesus as His Son, who as fellow heirs has become our brother, according to Romans 8, 17. And we are all God's children, brothers and sisters in Christ, together with those all over the world. And is there anything more precious than family? That special bond that we have among our family members. And there's nothing more precious than the family of God. The family that goes all over the United States, all over the world. Even that family that I introduced you to this morning down in Paraguay. Your brothers and sisters, we're all been made one. This is the kingdom of heaven, the nation of God, this citizenship of heaven. So friend, as you can see, there exists this special kingdom. And so once again, the question becomes, where is your citizenship? Where does your citizenship lie? You know, it's terrible, the things that we've seen happen, like David just talked about, and the things that we've seen happen in other countries, like the terrible earthquake and tsunami in Japan, or in Haiti, or the violence that we see in Libya and Egypt and places like that. But what if I told you that there was an even more serious calamity coming? One that was going to be more terrible than anything we have ever seen. And all those nations are going to perish. And all those nations, all the people that are in those nations are going to perish unless they're in this one particular nation. What if I told you that this one particular nation will survive that calamity? And that you don't want to be a part of those other nations, those worldly nations, because not only is this one going to survive, you're going to have abundant life in this nation. And it's going to live forever, according to Jesus' words. And the king of this nation is offering you entrance in. Offering you to come in, free passage. Brethren, what I'm telling you is true. It's the same kingdom we've been talking about in this sermon this morning. It's the same kingdom that Jesus talked about in John 18:36 when he was talking to Pilate, saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." And exactly where is this kingdom? Well, you know that it lives in the hearts of its inhabitants. And here's how you get into that kingdom. You know, you have to first hear about a kingdom before you can be a part of it, right? If you don't know about it, you can't get into it. Well, that's what Romans 10:17 says. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so here we're telling you about this kingdom. And then you have to believe in it. You know, a lot of people believe in the United States. That's why they want into the United States. They believe in what it stands for. Well, the kingdom of God is the same way. You must believe in its king, which is Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "Those who believe in me." Well, then you have to renounce your former citizenship. That's a pretty serious change, to give up your citizenship and to change your culture and your background. Well, that's exactly what must happen according to get into this kingdom. It's called repentance. Stop doing those things of that earthly kingdom and start doing those things of this worldly kingdom. And then you must, what happens whenever you enter sometimes to get citizenship? You have to give an oath, right? You have to announce it, say it with your mouth. Well, it's the same way in this kingdom. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And then, like most citizenship, you have to be born in that country. To become a part of this glorious kingdom, you have to be born into it. You know, a passport is great, but a birth certificate is concrete. I don't even know if you can get a passport without a birth certificate. But the question becomes, how can you be born into another country when you've already been born in this country? That was Nicodemus' question to Jesus. And what did he say? You have to be born again in water and spirit. Immersed in the blood of Christ. In that water, immersed. The same thing Ananias said to Paul. Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins. And then according to Acts 2:47, you are added to this kingdom. God adds you to this kingdom. Isn't that amazing? Now, just like any citizenship, you have to remain faithful. You have to obey its laws and its commandments, or you can lose your citizenship. Revelation 2:10 says that you need to remain faithful. I hold right here in my hand my passport to the United States of America. But I hold right here in my heart my passport to the citizenship of heaven. Through His messenger standing here before you, Jesus Christ is offering you admittance to this kingdom this morning. Will you answer the call? As together we stand and sing.